at the moment of birth, when like the baby is leaving the vaginal canal, the mother is having a huge burst. Like her levels of oxytocin are going up.
Hormones are going crazy.
Yeah, they're going crazy. So, and I don't know if people remember, oxytocin is the hormone that causes, or not causes it. It's just a bonding.
The hardening of the nipples.
It's not the lusty one. It's the one that makes your relationship last.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So, the mother is having very increased levels of oxytocin, and at the same time, the baby is also having this increased oxytocin moment. And after the baby leaves, or like the baby is born, and the baby is like put on the chest of the mother, they're having this skin-to-skin contact, and then usually that leads, like the mother starts breastfeeding immediately, like they're able to have that like latching moment.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a cesarean, you don't have that. Mm-hmm. And a lot in the paper that I read, which I pulled up and then I minimized and cannot find now with all of the things that I have open. I know. Basically what they found was that women who have cesareans, they have a lot harder time starting breastfeeding. It takes a lot. They have to work a lot harder to get the routine going, and maybe they may not be able to start it. It's not that the bond with their child is worse or anything long term. It's just breastfeeding is a lot more difficult for them than a woman who delivers vaginally. And it's not like, oh, it's going to be like that for everybody across the board. It's just there definitely is a correlation.
But this is because of an absence of the oxytocin burst?
Well, they're just they've studied it in sheep and mice, and they haven't, at least in the paper that I read, they didn't like measure the oxytocin in humans. They've measured the oxytocin levels in sheep and mice and saw that when they took the oxytocin away from sheep and mice, that they were less responsive to their young. They just didn't want to nurture them and didn't care about feeding them quite as much.
Cold-blooded.
Yeah. And so that's why they feel like there is a correlation between that with humans, because...
Right. Because we're also animals.
Yeah, but we still are wanting to breastfeed our babies, even if we have a cesarean. We're not just like, oh, well, didn't feel it, so I don't care.
But it does make it harder to, stimulate the mammary glands? Like, I don't understand this burst of oxytocin.
Because I have not had a baby, I'm not an expert on this. I just know from, like, friends that have had babies and things like that, that breastfeeding, it's not just, like, putting a baby on your boob and there it is.
And some moms don't even want to breastfeed, so there's that element too.
Yeah.
I think that's probably pretty rare nowadays.
Yeah.
It used to be more of a thing, maybe like when formula first came out.
Well, now they're also realizing the health benefits,
right
to the child, vertical transmission of a lot of things.
Yeah, like
antibodies.
And other things that, you know, the mother passes along that are just like good for the baby.
Yeah, yeah, certain hormones and chemicals that just the baby isn't able to, like, kick into full swing yet, right?
But still, some moms just, don't want to do that.
That's their option in this awesome modern day.
Yeah.
Yeah, some moms don't want to, but then a lot of people do, and it's stressful for a lot of people just because if you don't have that, it's called latching, like when the baby is able to, you know, figure it out and like they're able to start breastfeeding and that's going to be their thing. If it doesn't happen, I think, I don't know what the time frame is, but if it doesn't happen like within like the first couple weeks or something like that, it's probably not going to happen, and then you might not produce breast milk. So even if you wanted to pump or something and bottle feed with your own breast milk, you won't be able to.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you had an emergency C-section and you wanted, and you didn't want to do that, that might be something that was stressful.
Right.
Interesting.
For the mom. But they were also, like, so the thing with the articles, they were looking into, it's possible that you could, we could, you know, supplement oxytocin for things
is
like
that,
that.
Is that a chemical that's, like, you can take as a supplement or something? I don't know if it's, like, isolated in that kind of...
It's part of arousal, right? So
yeah, well...
That would be interesting.
In the article that you were talking about, uh-huh. That's the one where they were saying that it could be this sort of strange cure-all type of...
Oh, yeah.
...thing, because it actually acts on the mu opioid receptors.
Uh-huh.
And it's sort of just this very feel-good...
Oh, okay. So drugs could do the same thing, more or less.
But they're saying why maybe oxytocin is just this thing, or this magical hormone that we could really start investigating for all of these, possibly like mental health. Yeah, because they were talking about like sexual health, like for things like that.
So. Well, and it's also interesting. So these hormones, I was reading another article about the importance of bipedalism in the birthing process, right?
Oh.
And how, like, bipedalism has caused, like, a narrowing of the birth canal. But, like, oxytocin and these other hormone bursts, I don't know if anybody knows exactly what the pelvis looks like, but it's actually not fused at the front. There's just a kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? Cartilage.
Uh-huh.
And so, these hormone bursts will cause the cartilage to expand. And this causes the birthing canal to kind of open up a bit because, as any human mother will know, it's a pretty tight fit, right?
Right.
So pushing a baby out.
Maybe we should take a step back really quick and then discuss that there. So when I was doing my research, I found that there's generally three different types of birth that are considered to be, you know, like birth in the natural world. So there, there's viviparity, which is what we've been talking about.
That's so like vagina, butt, and mouth? Is that where babies come from?
Yeah.
So viviparity, it's like when, you know, the fetus or the embryo is attached and it develops inside of the mother.
Okay.
And there's oviparity, which is when a animal lays an egg.
Mm-hmm.
So basically that's entirely separate. So all of the, you know, nutrition and everything that the embryo needs is contained inside the egg. So it's completely detached from the mother.
Okay.
And then there's a hybrid of the two, which is ovoviviparity, which is common in a lot of... So viviparity is obviously mammals do it, and you can consider plants to also be viviparous because they grow the embryo like on the actual plant structure itself.
Mm-hmm.
Ovoparity is common in a lot of reptiles and fish because they lay eggs.
Sure.
And then so ovoviviparity, which is kind of a hybrid of the two, is common in like a lot of amphibians and
snakes too.
Sharks.
Oh.
And amphibians.
Oh, okay. So with the shark thing.
So they lay eggs, but then the egg is actually just inside the mom, and so it has no connection to like the mother. It's just like inside.
But so it's kind of like a way of protecting a clutch of eggs, then,
uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah,
like ensuring their survivability.
Yeah.
And so then the egg hatches inside of
the
mom.
The egg hatches inside of the mom. Yeah.
And then so she actually births live sharks. Then.
Yes.
So she has to kind of give birth twice.
Kind of.
That sucks.
Yeah.
Sucks for the sharks.
Yeah. And so frogs do this too, I think. So, but they do it, they usually do like a big, huge, like litter. Well, that's another thing. So larger animals generally only give birth to one animal, and smaller animals can give birth to litters. Just, I don't know why.
Just, well, isn't that the...
Oh, yeah, say hi to John. John just got here.
Don't mention me when I'm gone. Don't mention me when I arrive.
We were waiting for a moment. We just got so into
it. I think our audience would beg to differ. it was kind of the differences. I mean, this is how they always explain it, at least in intro bio classes, right? It's the difference between investing a large amount into one offspring or investing small amounts and producing more offspring.
And generally, you know, like if you have a larger litter, the mothers don't really tend to the babies as much. Whereas obviously
you get busy.
We all got jobs.
After a while. Yeah. My favorite fact about like putting in all of this effort and time into like a smaller number of offspring, like think about bears, right?
I always think about bears.
Sorry,
I do, because they only have like one or two offspring, and they have to survive like the cold season.
Right.
But if there isn't enough food, even though they've already invested all of this time and energy, they will eat their young, even though they're giving birth and all that fun stuff, because they're at a reproductive age already, and the young aren't, and so have less of a chance of surviving to get to a reproductive age. And so it's like a species fit thing instead of just like a, my children are the best.
And there's a whole range of, you know, like developmental stages where babies are born in different types of animals. Mm-hmm. So a lot of animals will have, I forgot what the word is here. Let me see. I guess it's not that important. But, precocial babies where they are able.
Precocial. Like precocious.
Precocious. That's the right word.
Yep.
Okay. There we
go. Precocious.
Cochial, huh?
Precocial.
Was that cochial?
Different episode. So that means that the baby can, like, they can walk around and stuff when they're born. And others, like, in marsupials, the babies are born at an extremely,
underdeveloped.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is interesting. This is kind of part of the stuff that I was bringing in, too. It's like the difference in birthing types for mammals, right? So you have like your placental, and then marsupials are like yolk forming, but not really placental
forming.
Yeah,
so they feed on the yolk. That's really interesting.
Can I get a kangaroo omelet? Is that what I
That's gross,
right?
I don't know. I've tried it.
But so like these offspring, when they develop, they're probably only like an inch or so long.
Mm-hmm.
They like, this is weird to describe, but they like, climb out of the vagina and like go to the pouch. That's what like the marsupials do, right?
And then they attach onto a nipple, right? And then they're like stuck on there for like until they keep developing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
And I find humans to be a really interesting, I think, even though we're not like yolk based, obviously we're placental, but an interesting hybrid of these things because we develop so much outside of the womb.
Mm-hmm.
And like back to bipedalism, right? Like, we can only develop so far as to get out of the womb, and the way that our pelvises are set up, when a woman is giving birth and her birth canal is opening up, she can't walk because that will force her pelvis into like a quadrupedal position.
It's crazy.
Yeah,
it is crazy.
Right? Well, and these stretches in this cartilage, there's actually, like, tears and scarring that occur on it. And these people who have dissected these pelvises have said that they could tell how many children this person had had based on how much scarring.
Oh, how many children?
Yeah.
Wow, that's interesting.
I always think it's, like, so unfair how, like, painful it is for human women to give birth compared to, like, other animals. Because they can, like, you know, they're still, like, standing and I don't know, or, like, fish can just, like, lay eggs or whatever.
Just, like, poop out babies.
Or, like, women, like, die giving birth.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate.
Yeah.
Well, and it's interesting, the baby faces towards the back of the mother when it's born, like in a natural.
Is that where
birth.
The saying "baby got back" comes from?
Thank you, John.
Yeah,
you're welcome.
Do you have anything to say about vaginas and birth?
Well, I did have something to say. I thought it was really interesting about the how damaging birth is in humans.
Right.
I mean, they bring it up when you're talking about how dependent we are on the group dynamic in.
Totally.
In humans.
Even in the birthing process.
Exactly,
yeah.
It argues that for a trait to evolve like that, we must have been dependent on one another.
Yeah.
And to actually have that reliance on a partner to be present for the birth event is pretty wild.
Well,
but just real quick, but it also goes to show that our brains have been such a huge benefit. They've been selected for so strongly.
Right.
Because we could have it be less painful if we had smaller heads.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
But then how would we smash everything around us?
Well, I mean, then we wouldn't be the best. So.
Which we are, yes.
Yeah. Well, and so that's what's really interesting, too, is right, why evolutionarily is birth the way that it is?
Catholics believe it's because of man's sins. That's why we.
Because of what?
Man's sins.
Man's sins.
Oh.
Man's sins.
The sins of man.
Ireland
has
yes.
It's so painful.
It's all together.
Because of Adam and Eve, they disobeyed God.
Mostly
and that's
Eve,
why
though.
It's so painful.
I know.
Oh my gosh.
That fucking bitch Eve. Let me tell
oh
you.
Oh my
about
gosh.
Her.
Eve? God. Women.
Okay, I think we're going to take a quick music break.
Okay.
And then come back.
Fine. working. We are working.
Work.
Work.
Girl. Work. So, kind of back to the evolution of birth and the way that it is in humans.
So, how were you guys born?
Vagina.
Yeah, vagina.
Vagina? You were both born in vagina? Yeah.
My mom tells me the story a lot, like more than I want to hear it.
Don't hang up, Jess. I'm going to tell you this real quick.
Were you guys either early or late? Do you know?
My mom says I was a little late.
You were a little late.
Yeah.
I was very late.
You were very late.
Yeah.
Do you know how late?
You know, it's up for debate just because of my interesting situation with, you know, the dad thing. Uh-huh. Like, I feel like I'm not sure how truthful my mom was with how long I was in there.
like, do you know, John?
I was just a cesarean section.
Yeah, I was too.
And
only children in C's.
There you go.
And earlier late.
And I was about, I think about a week late.
John?
I think I was on time-ish. My mom's probably listening right now. She could text and correct me, but I was about on time. They had a midwife, though, who didn't understand what was happening, so they kind of had to rush me to a hospital.
Okay.
They're going to do a home birth, apparently.
Yeah, mine wasn't planned. I think it was they induced labor for me, and I didn't fit, basically, so then I had to have a C-section. So
apparently I had really wide shoulders, and that was ouchy.
So I was born with, like, a black eye because I got bruised. Yeah. So funny. But anyway, I wanted to talk about this because the topic that I was really interested in is post-term babies and how that might affect, you know, like the birth process.
Okay.
So I was interested in what is different about post-term babies or like the complications that might arise because I was a post-term baby, kind of slightly. Actually, I'm not a post-term baby, I should say.
Leave it to this only child to pick a topic that is only about me.
So a normal pregnancy term is about 40 weeks, and after 42 weeks is what's considered post-term. So if you're up to 42 weeks, that's a little bit late, but it could be still considered within the realm of normal. But after 42 weeks, I found this article conducted by Dutch researchers, published in the International Journal of Epidemiology, that post-term children actually have a higher risk of developing clinically behavioral problems like ADHD and also just like general behavioral issues. So I thought that was really interesting.
Does that explain you?
No.
Well, if my mom was being truthful, then that is, I mean, I have ADHD. So
yeah, people that are children that are born after 42 weeks old are more than twice as likely to develop these types of problems, especially ADHD.
But Michael also said that these people are exceptionally intelligent, too, because their brains have been developed.
Yeah, that's the part I was waiting for.
That's also true.
Yeah.
So, like I said, post-term is actually fairly late, so it's more than 2 weeks late if you're talking about a normal birth cycle. But I found this other article that says children that are born basically at 41 weeks, they have less problems in school, so they're do better.
More docile.
Are they more docile?
I'm just saying.
I've always wondered that, like, late babies, because they just, like, stay in the womb longer.
They're just more content. Incubating. I got this.
I didn't find any evidence on that, but I've always had that feeling.
I don't think it's an issue of the baby's initiative.
No.
Here again, baby. Only child.
The personality just wants to stay in there.
Oh, my God. Your mom, Marshall's mom, just texted him and said that he was conceived on Valentine's Day.
Oh, yay. Hey, that makes me a love baby.
Gross.
Your mom?
Screw all you accidents. Actually, I was an accident.
I think that was probably like a New Year's Eve baby.
Can we stop talking about our parents having sex, please?
Oh, wait.
I think.
I love you, Mom.
My mom's trying to think about how long she was pregnant with me right now. She's been texting for 30 seconds.
I didn't get a message. Jeez.
Your mom doesn't love you as much.
I mean, I thought we all knew that, but now to really have it proven, I love you, Mom.
But I do kind of want to talk about, like, a little bit more about, like, the evolution of birth and bipedalism. And my favorite thought about this is I often consider, so, like, the niche that humans play, or where we were able to like fit into different ecosystems, right? And I see humans as like these really interesting. We were like
animals to be slaughtered, right, Marshall? That's what
I mean. Well, so group dynamics, but we were on the plains, right? So we're kind of like plains monkeys, if you think about that. And lots of monkeys there, like in jungles and forests, right? And
I'm imagining a monkey flying an airplane, personally.
Oh my gosh.
And it's great.
And so bipedalism is a form, a more efficient form of locomotion than quadrupedalism is. So, yes, there's that. And then also back
Are
to
any other animals bipedal besides primates?
Yeah,
ostriches.
Like other plains animals are. Yeah. You can even think of the prairie dog, right?
Sure.
And so prairie dogs have to, they stand up to
they
get
stand
above
up, yeah.
the grass.
But they don't move around that way.
But it's because they dig holes in there, like, in one
yeah.
location.
Because, like, dogs can stand.
Kind
of.
Sort
what?
Of. yeah.
I mean, like, they
That's considered a trick.
So these prairie dogs do it, though, for, like, a defensive purpose, right? They want to see predators coming at
yeah.
them.
Yeah.
And it's the exact same... Like, not only is it more efficient locomotion, but we were able to get taller above the grass and see mm-hmm. predators coming, and then the entire group kind of gets into a defensive position.
Well, the definition of efficiency kind of comes into play here, right? Because
mm-hmm.
why is it that we can't outrun, like, a leopard or a cheetah?
Sure, but then group dynamics, right?
Yeah.
And use tools.
I mean,
well,
strength and numbers, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, but I mean, maybe you could say that having hands is advantageous, like freeing up a couple of your limbs to do additional jobs, but... As a form of just locomotion and transport, I think being I was going to say quadriplegic, but be a quadruped, I guess, would be would be more efficient, right?
But primates are already
dexterous.
Faster,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, lots of hunters, too, in like tribal areas in Africa, right? They don't run down their prey. They walk them down because it's so much more efficient calorically. That, like, the gazelles or whatever, after they wound them, will just fall down from sheer exhaustion after a few miles.
Mm-hmm.
So, and humans are just like, whatever, bro. So, anyway, but so that's, being bipedal forces the birth canal to be a lot narrower because you have to have a narrow pelvis to facilitate, like, upright walking. So,
sure.
back to birth.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Anyway, yeah, so... Anything else? Do you got some vagina stuff you want to throw at our audience?
Ew.
Did you see that strawberry?
What?
My mom was like, what?
Oh,
what is
the
that
flyer
info for
yeah.
this?
It's just a strawberry. It's nothing more.
That's all it is.
It's
just a strawberry.
Yeah, I mean, if you're
Oh, it's a sliced strawberry,
yeah.
huh? So it looks like a...
It looks like a strawberry.
Gotcha.
I mean, what do you think it looks like?
Anything else?
I think everything looks like a vagina to me.
Oh, straight guy over
yeah.
here. Guy
okay.
Over
yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. yeah. You guys, shut your vaginas for a minute. Let me talk, all right?
Yeah. My mom said that I was 40 to 42 weeks. She apparently remembers nothing about
somewhere in between.
Oh, my God. I love this. The placenta had protein in it.
I know.
It.
I'm like... Okay.
So, oh yeah. So I guess back to my topic. So postterm babies, it's really bad because apparently the placenta, I guess, is not very stable, and so there's not necessarily a problem with being in the womb long. It's just like the placenta, like in terms of development, it's not really like bad for the baby to be in there longer on its own, but it's. The placenta starts to degrade, and so the baby doesn't get like proper nutrition, so they can start to lose fat deposits and things like that. So they, and then eventually, if they're in there too long, then that really increases the terms of like a stillbirth or dying in the womb. So yeah, so it's not good to have a baby too long. So you want to induce it or have a C-section or something if it's starting to be too long. But up to 42 weeks is fairly normal. And if you're in between 40 and 42 weeks, then you are generally smarter.
Yeah, right? you're just like Michael Pena. You're
yeah.
just the perfect individual.
Oh, my gosh. This is great. I'm so glad that she kept me in there as long as she did.
She's crossing her legs.
Yeah.
yeah, not too long.
That's Speaking of placentas being full of protein, have any of you heard of this? It's an online business called Tree of Life. It's called Tree of Life Placental Processing Service.
Make it into pills or something?
They make it into everything. They make it into sauces, steaks,
tea.
Like steaks, sauces, teas. They'll do a tea. They have a placenta.
Oh my god.
Check it
out. I feel like it should be really stretchy.
You can just make it out. That takes no preparation.
That's
DIY.
Jerky
roast. Jerky, yeah. No, I don't think it's actually a jerky.
Could you imagine going on like a hike and like, I'm really going to need that placenta.
Oh, my placenta jerky. Oh, my gosh. My mom. Sorry, I'm not really sure when I even got pregnant.
It was a crazy 3 weeks. I was like,
I was living in Florida, okay? I was having the time of my life. That's okay, Mom. I support you. I support having fun.
So on the other side of development, if the baby's too early, that obviously there's a lot of problems that can happen, but also they are increased risk for schizophrenia and depression and bipolarism.
But why? I mean, what is it that ADHD is on one side of that coin and on the other?
It's kind of
I feel like I have all those problems.
This research was
not the schizophrenia.
This research is definitely
who's the only child?
This research is definitely not like a cause and effect type of thing. So they're not giving a mechanism. They're just. It's correlation.
Yeah,
so.
which are already weak arguments.
Yeah,
so I have a hard time with those ones.
There's a correlation with everything, right?
So This is a group of about 5,000 Swedish babies. So that's also, I mean, very selective.
I mean, also lightning strikes super early when babies are preterm. Like you're 5 times more likely to get hit by a lightning bolt. Correlations. Yeah, there's data out there for it. No, I don't know.
Oh God!
I was like, everybody was wow. I did not know that.
What a weird thing to know.
I was going to say, my little brother was born at like 7 months. I better let my stepmom know.
Get him out of the house. No.
Yeah, don't. If there's a lightning storm, don't let Jake out.
There is an increased, or there's a correlation between organic food sales and levels of autism, though. Then that's a real correlation.
Well, that's... That makes sense, because the people who buy organic food definitely probably think that there's a reason they need to do that.
Yeah. Gross.
We'll just leave it at that.
Autism?
I mean...
They're not... They're people, Marshall.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. Oh, my mom now just needed to tell the labor story to me again.
But 9 hours, huh?
9 hours of hard labor. She always has to...
Add
emphasize
that word hard.
Wasn't just regular labor, hard labor.
Uh-huh. You did not want to come out. I feel like you still didn't want to come out to this day. You're like, nah, it's too difficult out here. I wish.
I know, that's where I stay in my house all the time. Oh, they started prepping her for a C-section. Didn't want to come out.
There you go.
But you were.
But then eventually I was like, no.
I guess.
Yeah, I guess I'll come out.
So, John?
Yeah.
What else? So, vaginas. Thoughts on birthing vaginas?
I'm pro both. I'm pro birth and I'm pro vagina.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, vote for me. Yeah. I didn't have that much material to bring in today. I kind of figured it'd be a little more free form with the four guests. I wanted to see how the, or four hosts, I should say.
Uh-huh.
I
uh-huh.
wanted to see how the format would work. But I did sort of review hymenopteran reproduction, which are like wasps and things like that.
Okay.
I don't think I've talked about this on the show, but it's one of my favorite.
Yeah, they're really interesting, right?
Yeah.
How the sex is determined.
Exactly. It's like the sex determination, and like they have a queen that sort of gives birth to all the offspring.
We should just refresh in humans anyway. If you're born with 2 X chromosomes, you're a woman, and your sex is of a woman, and if you have XY, then your sex is of a male when you're born. And human eggs, which are in women, are always X chromosomes, and a sperm can be either an X or Y chromosome.
Right.
So it's the male's sperm that decides.
Well, and
be the sex.
And interesting, if like non-disjunction occurs, which for our audience, that's just the chromosomes don't move over or segregate equally. So if you were just like an X without a Y or another X, mm-hmm. Your sex also just defaults to female. So
and then there's other ones that you can have additional chromosomes, like if you're XXY or YYX or something, and those I believe result in male. So if you have like at least one Y, then you're male, but they have like other developmental things going on with those
right.
like breast tissue or something.
Yeah.
They call them like super males on the other two Y's.
Yeah.
I think that that's such a misnomer because like, I thought that would mean that they'd be
extra
8 feet tall and rippling with muscle. And no, it's just a bummer.
Yeah.
But also, so women can get pregnant without men, not necessarily humans, but plenty of animals in the animal kingdom. That's known as parthenogenesis.
Oh, cool. But I totally I switched it up. But geez.
What? Why?
Women don't need us. I think once eugenics takes off, then it's just going to be like, they're going to kill us off.
Which means we are like completely accessory and we're just
fabulous. And then we're going to be like bees. So talk about bees.
Fantastic. Yeah, let's talk about bees, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Like the song, right?
Let's talk about bees.
Yeah,
baby.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Everybody.
I don't know if I know
so
that
what were you talking about?
So okay, you got your queen right there. Big ol' queen bee. It can asexually reproduce.
Cool.
Parthenogenesis. They're exact clones, right, of the queen.
Uh-huh.
But if a sex event happens, right, one of the drones comes and mates with the queen, then you get a switch in the gender, right? I'm explaining this correctly,
so,
yeah.
I believe that's correct, yeah.
Yeah, so you can produce. She can produce drones all the time,
mm-hmm.
but then eventually you want to create another female. So one of the drones has sex with her, and then you create this new female that has actually had the opportunity to undergrow.
Is the female gonna be the new queen, or
that's my understanding. I think that they might give birth to a couple, and then you know one of them actually wins out usually. But it is really odd because what you see is differences in behavior based on relatedness. Because this is the word. This is my. What I want to transition into was talking about Hamilton's rule.
Right.
Yeah.
We talked about this one a bit on reproduction.
Oh, we did?
Yeah.
Okay, that's why this is starting to feel pretty familiar. I might have already mentioned this.
So, but go ahead for the audience who maybe didn't hear that episode.
Yeah, no problem. I mean, it's all encompassed by the saying, like, I would risk my life to save, I think it's two brothers or four cousins.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of the saying.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the idea is you take the degree of relatedness that somebody has to you, right? So a brother is one half related because you have.
And that's important because they have, right, so they have a genetic code that is very similar to yours, and you want to protect your genetic code, so.
Exactly. So all the behavior is explained by just passing on more of the genes. And they don't need to be, the ideal situation is that you have a child, of course, because then more of your genes get in there. That kid's going to have half of you.
Right.
But if your brother, who has half of you, goes and has a kid, that kid will have a quarter of you, let's say.
Well, your brother will have all of you, just in a different combination.
Yeah, but then, so there will be enough of you passed on
right. In
that way. Yeah, so based on the degree of relatedness, we will be more altruistic or put ourselves in more danger in order to protect another person.
Right.
And so with the Hymenopterans, the clonal organisms, the clonal bees that are just birthed parthenogenically, those are completely altruistic and just demonstrate behaviors where they're entirely selfless and it'll do anything for the queen.
And I think it's interesting that, like,
that's what drone-ism is.
Right. So basically, if these eggs are unfertilized, they're like clones of the queen, but they're male.
Yeah, that's the weird twist.
Yeah,
because in most animals, they're female.
So in Hymenoptera, if they have only one set of chromosomes, they're male.
So if they're haploid,
if they're haploid, they're male, and if they're diploid, they're female.
Interesting.
Huh.
Pretty wild.
So it's almost like the males are like, I don't know.
And like only
half of.
Well, and we're getting a little back into like the reproduction thing. But I love that because females are just genetically superior since like they have like multiple copies of the genetic information. So if you have a bad gene, right, you're more likely to have another good one.
But what, have you
That's
seen them
also,
throw?
But I mean, there's pros and cons. So if
I know, periods, man. tell me about it.
Yeah.
What a con.
Yeah.
Your vagina just oozing for like.
No,
what,
I mean in terms
week?
Of like genetic diseases and things.
Yeah.
So
say hi to your mom, Marshall.
I mean, that's cool.
So
I'm glad I don't have
to
worry about it.
They're more likely to have recessive disorders, right? Because they have.
Women?
Wait, no.
No, men.
No, men. Are,
yeah, because
yeah,
the Y
yeah,
chromosome is like really flimsy.
Colorblindness.
Yeah, and it's just. I don't know, those two little arms on it can't
yeah,
can't
honestly,
do stuff.
Honestly, like the biggest gene that's in there is just like the one that's like your, like there's a gene that just says male. It releases
penis.
One hormone, basically. It releases a hormone, like it causes the release of a hormone at a certain stage. So it's just like, oh, so you're male, and if you don't have this gene, then your body like defaults to being female. But anyway, we're back to reproduction again, so. Births.
Yeah.
How many births can a human undergo? Like how, like the average human?
I mean,
how many?
I mean, like the Duggars, what are they on?
Oh my god. Well, they aren't very famous anymore. Now they're infamous, I guess.
Uh-huh.
I think they were at like 21 or
something.
Dang, really?
Yeah.
I don't think there's a. I mean, obviously, you know, like the uterine wall and things like that, they start to degrade. After you have like several children, even after one children, it's like not as healthy as it could be. So the risk of complication starts to increase.
Does it? Because I feel like it should be easier to just like pop a child out after that. Your vagina is like ready.
I think like
your birth
maybe
canal,
I don't know.
Like,
I don't think it's for you to say as a male.
I mean,
that just
I can speculate,
no.
On that, but just what
I don't
do your vagina.
I mean, I don't even know. I've never pushed anything that big out of my vagina. But I know that as you get older, it's definitely harder to have a successful pregnancy. But
is that more of a factor of like the eggs being less like?
Yeah, your eggs, you know, start rotting or whatever. They're just not as good. What Michael was saying about the uterine wall, it just your uterus can't. It's not so much the uterus, but like the cervix is not as strong, and so you're more likely to
just accidentally plop a baby out.
Yeah, you'll miscarry at like a later stage in the pregnancy.
The trick is to lift with your knees.
So,
boom.
Yeah, it's kind of a bummer, especially. For right now, when women are trying to entering the workforce and not really like wanting to start a family in until their mid-30s, and really like you're primed to have a baby in like your early 20s, mid-20s, and 30, like when you turn 30 to 35, like that's when they say like, oh, you should probably start now because your eggs.
So, I mean, I think in terms of biology, like a woman should be able to have at least two children, more than two children if you want the population to grow, right?
Right.
So if every woman had two children, the population would be exactly steady.
Well, so kind of back to Jess's point, right, about entering the workforce later, and also kind of a topic that I think we touched on a little bit with reproduction was population growth,
mm-hmm.
right? And kind of what you were getting at, it's better not to reproduce right now. It's
the hell
out of
that
fucking
sound.
Resources. It's kind of like, I know a lot of people are like, but I want to have like all of
well,
my
I think,
children.
Yeah, like the new conspiracy theory going around is that the Zika virus is a engineered virus to sort of keep population down.
I haven't
so
heard
it's
that,
to
but
discourage
that's interesting.
Women from having births. Yeah. So I think in like the areas where it is really active right now, like the government's advising people not to have any children for like the next 2 years or something.
Right.
Wow.
Right.
I bet people are losing their minds about that. Like, oh, how can you tell us not to have kids? You can't tell me not
yeah,
to have
people
kids.
People get crazy when they say not to have kids. And
yeah.
I mean, in China, it was a big problem. If like, you know, if the family knew the sex was a girl for whatever reason, they would try to have like an abortion or something, or it was more likely because they wanted
oh, yeah.
to have.
And they just took the one child per family.
I think, yeah.
They stopped
it.
That, like, pretty recently, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They did, but only if you were a product of being an only child. So only if you were an only child were you allowed to have more than one. So if your family had more, if you had siblings, then you're not exempt from that rule anymore.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So it's still, they're trying to find a happy balance there. Mm-hmm. So, and your parents didn't pay into this, so you're going to have to pay into
this. It's like Social Security.
Yeah.
But yeah, don't feel the need to have tons of kids.
Right.
Yeah.
We don't need, the world doesn't need.
Well, but frankly, right, we all realize, we all know that it's the people who listen to this aren't really the problem. Not that there's a problem. Not that everybody should be allowed to have kids, of course.
And birth is hard. We didn't really cover these things, but if you're going to.
Jess's mom, 9 hours.
Yeah, my mom, 9 hours. You were pushing that out of your vagina. You could rip all the way to your butt. And that,
Do you want to do that more than
Yeah. Your vagina will never be the same after that.
And literally, it'll never be the same from what I hear. And if you're going to have a cesarean, I heard that hurts too.
Yeah.
It's a major surgery.
I don't know. I think I really have mixed feelings about this one, guys. Because on the one hand, I want there to be more space, so there's more for me and my eventual kids, right?
Uh-huh.
But on the other hand, I like to think that the people who listen to us are pretty intelligent and compassionate people, right? They're all wonderful.
And
just
birth rate
here.
Goes down with education.
With education. So heads up, the dummies are having kids. Y'all got to go out there and make more smarties. And teach the smarties to take out the dummies. Before you know it.
So please call your local senator and tell them that you want more money to go to education. And
if you do get pregnant, keep your kid in there for at least 42 weeks. So that you're 42. Oh, yeah. Okay, there we go. Just so that you...
After 42, it gets a little dangerous.
Yeah, because you want... want your kids.
Also, when I was researching this, I came across a group of women that's called the 10-month moms, where they they're all for just leaving the baby in there as long as
just crossing their legs and just
giving the baby as much time and don't do that because there are serious complications.
Weird that
they're just tying a tourniquet around their stomach or how?
No, they don't try to keep the baby.
Oh, okay.
They won't induce labor.
They don't induce. They're against inducing labor.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Also, my mom said 19 hours.
19 hours. I think mine was something like that. It was crazy long, almost a full day.
Could you imagine? Just
no, I cannot even.
So boring.
Thank you, mom.
Yeah, love you, mom.
Okay.
Yeah, I love you too, Mom.
I also love you, Mom. Oh, I thought of this joke last night. I thought it was so... Not, it's not really a joke. I just wanted to say that...
Is it time for a musical break, Michael?
Probably a musical break.
Yes, it is. Well,
it's time to be out of here.
Say goodbye to you guys.
Yeah.
But they're so smart and fun. No, don't you do it, John. Don't you do it.
I want to hear it. Go ahead.
There's no placenta I'd rather be.
Oh.
Than here with you guys. Oh,
oh my God. That's so cute.
That was
so
pretty happy. Good for John.
Thank you.
See you guys.
See ya.
Wonderful growth.